Welcome. With the Feast of Tabernacles fast approaching, we often turn our thoughts to the millennium period. And we all look forward to qualifying as saints through the overcoming of sin, to qualify for the first resurrection, the better resurrection, and to be safe from the second death. And I think most of us believe that we will then reign with Christ on earth for 1,000 years. However, there are many who believe that the millennium is simply a figurative period rather than a literal one. And they believe that it denotes some period of time other than a literal 1,000 years of Christ's physical reign on earth. And if it is in fact a figurative period, then this opens up various possible interpretations of what the millennium is actually all about and when it may occur. So some believe that it simply represents a long, undefined period of time. Others, such as those who believe that all the book of Revelation was fulfilled in the 70 AD destruction of Jerusalem, would argue that it represents the 40-year period between Christ's death and the destruction of Jerusalem. Others believe it represents the current 2,000-year church period. Another interpretation is that it represents a 360,000-year period, based on a day for a year. And still others, generally those more influenced by Greek thinking, such as Augustine, who was heavily influenced by the Gnostics, tend to take an allegorical approach to this, as they do to much of Scripture, and say that it represents all eternity after Christ's second coming. And then, of course, there is the view that it means exactly what it says, a literal 1,000 years. Now, there's many facets to this question, but today I'd just like to focus on one aspect of it. And that is, does the wording used by John actually mean a literal 1,000-year period, or should it be translated as thousands of years, plural, or something of that nature? In other words, is 1,000 years or the 1,000 years the correct translation of John's writing? So let's start by opening up at Revelation 19:13, and we'll read right through to the end of chapter 20. So Revelation 19, starting in verse 13. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And these two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So this is the period leading directly up to when the millennium is discussed. So continuing in chapter 20, Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there we have six references to the 1,000-year period. Three talk about a 1,000 years, and three talk about the 1,000 years. So we have Satan bound for 1,000 years, to then be released when the 1,000 years are finished. We have the beheaded saints living and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. We have the rest of the dead being brought back to life after the 1,000 years is finished. And we have another mention of the saints living and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. And then finally, Satan being released when the 1,000 years are finished. So those are the six core verses around which the doctrine of the millennium, however it is understood, are built. Now, what got me started looking into this again was the following statement I came across while researching this on the internet. So this person claimed, with great confidence as you can see, that the Greek word for thousand doesn't actually mean a single thousand, but means multiple thousands, or plural thousands. And I'll read out his statement. First of all, it is not 1,000 years reign, as the Greek numeric helioi, as base 10, in root Greek heli, represents the sum of plural thousands, and would properly be translated as thousands of years. And therefore, it simply denotes a long period of time that we can't specify, something longer than a single 1,000-year period. However, the Greek dictionaries would seem to disagree with him. The Greek word for 1,000 used here in Revelation is helioi, or Strong's 5507. And the first thing to note is that the dictionary definition is quite simply a primary word meaning 1,000. So the next place I turned was to many various translations to see if any translator had translated this as plural thousands, as some confidently assert the word should mean. However, every single version I checked translates this exactly the same way, as a or the 1,000 years, without variation. Now, I didn't check every translation in existence, but I think I did check a pretty good cross-section. So the claim that this should be translated as multiple thousands of years was already looking fairly doubtful. Now, when we do a search for helioi, it occurs 10 times in this form in the New Testament. As you can see, it occurs the six times we've already looked at in Revelation 20, and then it also occurs another three times in Revelation, in Revelation 11:3, 12:6, and 14:2, and once in 2 Peter 3:8. We have the 1260 days referred to twice, 1,600 furlongs, and one day likened to 1,000 years. In all cases, it means 1,000, not multiple thousands as some would try to make it mean. You can't have one multiple thousands and 260 days. Now in the next slide, I've listed the other variations on helioid. So we have dishelioi or 2,000, trihelioi 3,000, tetrakes helioi 4,000, pentakes helioi 5,000, and heptakes helioi or 7,000. So exactly the same usage as if we were to say 2,000 or 3,000 and so on in English. Once again, we can see that it makes no sense if helioi means multiple thousands. So again, we have confirmed that helioi means literally 1,000, just as the dictionary and all the translators agree. There's also a very similar word that is used for 1,000 in the New Testament, which is helias, or Strong's 5505. And helias stems from helioi, which we just looked at. Again, its meaning is simply 1,000. I won't go through each instance, but it occurs in 13 verses in the New Testament and again is translated as 1,000 in every single instance. For example, the 144,000 standing on Mount Zion or the 12,000 for each tribe of Israel. But what about when the writers of the New Testament did simply want to refer to a large indefinite number without specifying it? Let's start with Acts 21:20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous for the law. So here we have a reference to many thousands, or myriads as the New King James Version translates it. However, the word used here is completely different to helioi. The word here in Acts is Strong's 3461, or myrias. The dictionary defines it as either 10,000 in the singular, or 10,000s, or a myriad, or indefinite number in the plural. And this is the word that's used when the writers wish to convey either an indefinite number, or for some very large numbers. And it occurs in seven verses. Firstly, in Luke 12:1, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another. So here, it is used simply of an innumerable number. In Acts 19:19, also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. And here we have pentimyrias, or 5, 10,000. Hebrews 12:22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Again, myrias for a large, undefined number. In Jude 1:14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. And you'll notice there that they've got 10,000s plural. And many of the other translations translate that differently, as you can see, as thousands and thousands, many thousands, or thousands upon thousands. So again, a fairly indefinite number. Revelation 5:11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So this is a slightly different usage, and I'll come back to this after the next verse. And Revelation 9:16 is the final occurrence. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. So, as a little bit of a sidetrack, these last couple of figures that refer to 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, as we saw in Revelation 5:11, or the 200 million horsemen, are interesting. Some people think they just mean very large numbers. However, I think that when someone makes a statement like John did, that I heard the number of them, as he says here, or, and the number of them was, that he's making a fairly specific statement about a specific number. And just as we have numbers for 1 billion and 1 trillion and so on, so did the ancient Greeks. They weren't ignorant of large numbers. In fact, 200 years before the time of the apostles, Archimedes, who has been described as one of the greatest mathematicians of all time, had written a paper attempting to count all the grains of sand in the universe. And it's interesting because we just read in Revelation 20 about Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. So Archimedes had attempted to count all the grains of sand in the universe. And to do so, first he had to invent a number system large enough to do the job. And he based it on the myriad, which we've read about, which represented 100 million, as John talks about here in Revelation. So the number 100 million was a definite and well-known number at the time of the apostles. Now perhaps, and this is slightly speculation, that when John saw myriad of myriads and thousands of angels, he may in fact have been referring to 100 trillion. And 100 trillion is actually 10 to the power of 14, which I think has a nice biblical ring to it. So if John had wanted the 1,000 years to refer to a really long period of time, he could have chosen much bigger numbers to do so, as he did elsewhere in the book. Or, if he had wanted to refer to all eternity, as Augustine taught, then most likely he would have used aeon, or forever, as is frequently used in that sense, instead of 1,000. So taking all that into account, including the dictionary definition, and the way all the translators consistently and always translate the verses in Revelation 20 as a or the 1,000 years, and by looking at the usage throughout the New Testament, I think it's fairly safe to say that the actual wording in Revelation chapter 20, when it refers to the 1,000 years, is translated exactly the way John intended it to read. Thank you.